Let's move on. I'm mindful of time, and I know we want to have a good discussion of the due process handbook. So let's do the annual review on consultative groups, which is one of the items that the Constitution leaves to us every year.
So this is paper 1D. It's the annual review, as Alan said, of the board's consultative groups. It just the paper considers each of the 8 standing groups that we have and the 5 specific project consultative groups we have. We presented this paper to the board in September, and we recommended the board disband 2 groups that we have. Firstly, the Education Advisory Group. So I'm looking at paragraph 7 now. This group was historically used for very narrow purposes on some particular IFS teaching materials that we're no longer producing. So the group hasn't been consulted for 3 years. And you know, over the last few years, as we've explained to this group and to the full trustees, our educational activities have just widened enormously. So we don't really see a need for this group anymore. And also, we have got a broader review of our engagement with the academic community underway at the moment, and we are actually actively considering other mechanisms for engaging with a wide array of academics than this committee was previously. And the second group that we recommended for disbandment was the impairment in IFRS 9, Impairment of Financial Assets Transition Resource Group. Essentially, this group has now served its purpose. It was always intended to be a limited life group, and the board, IFRS 9, of course, is now in effect, it's being applied, and we will now support that standard with mechanisms, the Interpretations Committee and the board, so served its purpose. All of the other groups, you can see in the report, are functioning well. The board is very comfortable with the recommendation to disband these 2 groups, so just asking for any comments or questions from the committee.
Why is that?
Consultation, wider consultation with the wider academic group. Is that structured or does it take place on a project by project?
I think what we're trying to do is build the mechanisms to ensure that we have the appropriate engagement with the academic community for the various interactions we have with academics. So that could be about our getting high quality research into the standard setting process. And also in terms of any ways that we want to interact with that community in terms of implementation support for our standards as well. So we're just trying to devise how to best engage with the academic community more broadly.
Larry?
I just had a question on the SME implementation group. And I see Daryl's here who chairs that group, so that's helpful. But this group develops non-mandatory guidance. It's got 26 members who represent themselves, not any group. And they do everything by email. And I'm just wondering from a global consistency point of view, is this just a little bit too informal? And are we comfortable that this guidance, albeit non-mandatory, is really helpful? And how do we? It just strikes me as the fact that it's non-mandatory, it's just so informal. How is that consistent with our goal of global consistency?
So if I can then perhaps jump in and answer that. So I think there are a couple of things. In the way that we use the SME implementation group at the moment, we use them for, as a tripwire to identify issues. We correspond with them on a fairly regular basis via email. The objective of that is to firstly understand where the emerging issues are, what they are, what things we need to be aware of. The Q&A process, which is what is referred to here, where they get more involved on a formal basis, is essentially to provide educational guidance to the SME space. And the undertaking that we took for IFRS for SMEs is that we would provide a stable, robust platform that would change in a relatively relatively seldom. Essentially, generally speaking, that turns out to be about every 6 years. So in between, you've got the stable platform. The guidance that is issued in consultation with the SMIG is labeled and treated as educational guidance. So it is only helpful for those who need to specifically answer questions on particular issues that come up. And I think it's probably worth saying that we've only had, in the previous round, in the very first round of IFRS for SMEs, we only had 5 or 6 questions that came up. In the second round, we've only had 1 so far. So they are very few and far between in terms of the type of guidance they need to provide in that space. I would probably argue that their primary purpose is that tripwire one, and this the requirement to consult on Q&As is very much a secondary one. And then I think there's one other thing to add. If we, through the process of the engagement with the SMIG, develop a particular Q&A, as we have done recently, that Q&A is then exposed to our entire consultation or constituency base. So we do get feedback from a much broader constituency having initially consulted with the SMIG. And in the past, we've had a number of comment letters on various issues that have been raised. So we have had the opportunity to consider a wider view.
Michelle, Lana.
Thank you. There's a number of committees for which the staff conclude that it's functioning well. Is there a set of KPIs or a set of measures or a framework you apply to reach a conclusion, and to what extent it would be helpful actually to share that more broadly with this group? Because, you know, it's also in terms of cost benefit, and, you know, is that something that you've been thinking about? And
I mean, fundamentally, the question we're asking ourselves is, are we getting useful input from that group to largely to help specific projects on the board's agenda? And so I wouldn't say that we do have formal criteria to make this assessment, but we are, you know, constantly, after each of our meetings with our groups, we are sort of debriefing informally about how the meeting went well, how we can sort of improve for the future. I personally, I'd be reluctant to over-formalize this process. I mean, I think it's a useful exercise to have this check-in, but we are doing this as a matter of continuous through the year, really, as we plan and go into a particular meeting, and obviously as we come out of that meeting and think ahead to the next meeting.
Thank you. Other questions? If not, let's move on to the education material review, which Henry is also going to.
Do you want to do that one, or do you want to go to one?